latest news is the News Hotline, starring Roy Hobb with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Lowry Quartet. Thank you very much, folks, and welcome to the show. And this week has been an important one for the Commonwealth. Yes, Jim Callaghan has been entertaining all those prime ministers. I know how he feels. I've worked with the black and white minstrels myself. They're all here, though, aren't they? Archbishop Macarius, the well-known Scotsman. Dressed from head to foot in black. Yeah, the last time he was in London, he wore red, but never again. People kept posting letters in his mouth. Big social event of the week has been Royal Ascot, hasn't it? And they were all there in their new act. Did you see that? Eh? That Gertrude Chilling looking like an adventure playground. Oh, yes, I was there. But I went for the racing, as I've found a way of ensuring you always leave the course with a small fortune. You just arrive with a large one. Oh, did you see that? They're selling Red Rum's manure at 50p a bag. Honestly, it's absolutely true, and it's great for the vegetables. My neighbour used some only 2 days ago, and all his cabbages jumped into my garden. Ascot, of course, is on the flat. And talking of the flat, I see Twiggy's got married. I can see it all now, can't you? When the couple got home, Michael Whitney didn't bother to carry her over the threshold. He just slipped her through the letterbox. That has been a great week for new ideas, hasn't it? For instance, the post office has found a way of using sun rays for transmitting telephone messages. Did you say that? Sun rays. Mm. And remember, folks, it'll be cheaper to phone after dark. And another bright idea comes from a man in Scotland who started selling Scottish water to the Americans for £1 a bottle. Now he's thinking of selling air. Mm. You can buy it by the bag, but of course it's cheaper if you buy it loose. But what about that £10 million social security benefit which got lost? Did you see that? Hey, what? £10 million of our money the government handed out. I don't know where it went, but there's no chance of getting it back, said a ministry spokesman from his penthouse hotel suite in the Bahamas. And another shock of the week has been the revelations about Hitler in David Irving's new biography. Apparently Hitler was just an ordinary man. He admits that he was a bit of a dreamer and spent a lot of his time in a world of his own. At least it would have been if things had gone the way he wanted it. And there's also been the usual crop of little human stories, like the one about the do-it-yourself fanatic who went on extending his house until it was too big to keep up. Did you see that? Yes, an old Tudor house. 2 years ago he added a wing, last year he added another wing. Now it's gone off and flown away. And on the sports front we had the Argentina game. And Trevor Cherry getting sent off for hitting another player in the fist with his mouth. Yes, right. And another sports story was from the world of motor racing. It was Paul Newman's spectacular 90-mile-an-hour crash in his Datsun. Could that have had something to do with all this wet weather? Paul Newman climbed into his Datsun in his helmet and white racing togs. But then came the smash, and now since that crash, it's been raining Datsun Cog. Now it's time for the Hudlines Open Wine, and here is this week's guest, David Hoarfrost.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
And can we have the first caller, please?
In this jubilee time, we feel that it is wrong of the BBC to ban the Sex Pistols record, God Save the Queen.
Oh.
We do not find it offensive and have often tapped our feet to its funky rhythm.
Who is this calling, please?
Johnny Rotten here.
Next caller, please.
Hello, Sir Harold Wilson.
Oh, no.
I thoroughly enjoyed the Jubilee, you know. In fact, I was with the Queen on her tour of the river last week.
Were you on the Royal Barge?
Oh, no, no. I was strolling along behind.
Oh. The next caller, please.
Hello. I'm an amateur female magician, and I want to know why I can't join the magic circle. I specialize in levitation.
Oh, but are you good enough?
Oh, my husband thinks so. He says I only have to open my mouth and I'll send them up the wall.
Next corner, please.
Hello there. Now, for after this week, me and me mate have clubbed together to buy a racehorse.
Is it a good one?
Oh, I'll say it is. It ran yesterday for the first time and it took seven others to beat it.
Next caller, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm reading about all these child muggers. I think they're horrible. Yesterday, I was beaten up by 3 10-year-old boys.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Never mind. Did they steal your pocket money?
Yes. And the 2,000 quid I just nicked from the bank.
Next caller, please.
Hi there. Pierre Trudeau here. I guess you've read in the papers what my wife said about me. She says, I'm 57, but I've got the body of a 25-year-old.
Really?
Yeah, me!
Well, this week, Margaret Thatcher has been busy plotting a Tory revival, and brazen hussy that she is, she was doing it behind enemy lines. She dared to beard Michael Foot in his own den, the Welsh Labour stronghold of Ebervale. We'll keep a welcome in the Delilah.
Yeah.
Indeed to goodness, Jackie Dar, if it isn't Margaret Thatcher, welcome to the land of our fathers.
Mm, yes, well, it doesn't look like South Kensington.
Oh, Wales, can't you see the male voice choir? The lads are very anxious to give you a good send-off.
But I've only just arrived.
Precisely.
Oh, how I love the sound of your Welsh choirs. Amazing how they all sing as one man. How many are there?
Just Evans the epiglottis. You happen to have come on the one day when all the dinner suits are at Longsley. They have to have the trousers shrunk so the lads can reach the high notes, you see.
Hello, Maggie.
Good heavens, it's Michael Foot. Now, what are you doing here, Michael?
This is my constituency. You like Ebervale?
I never touch the stuff.
This house, Tedford, is where we Welsh bards all put our heads together. I've nearly got mine together already. By the way, Maggie, I've got a message from the lads up at the colliery. While you're here, the boys at pit chart number 6 will be grateful if you drop in.
You must excuse him, Mrs. Thatcher. He's a bit boisterous, and quite honestly, we're thinking of throwing him out of the Conservative Club. We get a lot of madmen around here, you know, all around the bend. Yes, we call them the men of Harpic.
Well, are you going to join in the competition? All you do is write a poem or sing a song. I've written a little poem. Quiet. Quiet, everybody. Quiet. Oh, you are. There was an old man of Kirkpilly, had a sex change up, which was silly. Then came the divorce, and his missus, of course, had the marriage declared willy-nilly. Ah! Hello? Everybody seems to have gone to sleep.
Well, they don't call us men of Horlicks for nothing, you know, boy.
Let's hear from you.
As a matter of fact, I do have a couple of little ditties.
You don't have a song as well, by any chance.
Oh, while we're marching in.
Of course, prices took a knock earlier this week when the supermarkets declared war on each other. A high street war. I wonder how that will look to the historians of the future.
The year 1977, the month June, and the supermarkets of Britain were at war. At South by stores, heavy losses were being incurred.
Bad news, I'm afraid, Captain. We've lost Ginger.
Oh, God. How did it happen?
Well, he was over at Cecil's store.
Yes?
Doing a spot of repair. I'm afraid he bought it.
You don't mean...
Yes, tinned salmon at 18p.
I didn't stand a chance. Do, chin up, lad. It's time for the commander's bulletin.
We shall defend our bright cut, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the bleaches. We shall fight on the coffee grounds. We shall fight in the booths and in the sweets. We shall fight on the tills. We shall never surrender.
It wasn't just men who were caught up in the horror of the prices war. Women suffered too.
Well, anyway, there I was with self-help, too. You know, one by surgical appliances. But this cow, see, she asked me if I'd take stabs as part of an extra special attractive offer, Sam. And feel as though I'm only 2 books away from having my own Concord, And then she told me, if she don't go and get me just one fiddling little stamp.
Look at it.
It's absolutely useless, isn't it? Yeah. Got Queen Victoria's head on it. But it's only worth a penny. It's horrible black colour.
Meanwhile, the high street war escalated. Price cuts were top secret. Careless talk cost money, and well betide anyone with valuable information who fell into enemy hands.
All right, darling, so you work for Bulk Buy Stores, eh? This is your last chance. How much are you lot going to charge tomorrow for frozen peas? You won't talk, eh? Right, take that. Ain't that. Now will you talk?
Well, for 3 pence at half price fruit salad, you must be joking.
All right, you ask for it. Albert?
Yes?
Get those reduced copies of Sing Along a Match.
Right.
No, not that. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, no, not that.
Oh, man. She's taken something.
Not bloody acting lessons, that's for sure.
Life was cheap because of the price war. So was processed cheese and dried soup. Everywhere, the casualties grew more serious.
Whatever happened to that chap?
Injured in action, Buck.
Hey, now.
A lady asked him what the reduction was on a pot of jam.
Well?
Well, he tells her 2p off and she concussed him with a frozen shot.
The war dragged on. Then suddenly, a breakthrough.
I say, chap, you boys, Scott, yes. We're going to buy up all of Fleecer's stock and then put it on our shelves and sell it at a profit. Then they buy it back and do the same thing to us until prices climb back up to their previous level. The old boy is coming on the air now.
I have nothing to offer you but bread, toilet roll, chew it. And tears and tears and tears of tin spam. Never in the history of human contrix has so much been offered for so little by so few to so many.
Right now this silly price war is over. All we supermarkets can put aside our differences and get back to fighting the real enemy, eh?
You mean inflation, sir?
No, the housewife.
Thank you.
27 Commonwealth leaders have been relaxing at the British Rail-owned Glen Eagles Hotel in Perthshire at a reported cost of £35,000. And if you consider the price of a day return to Brighton, then £35,000 for a weekend in Scotland seems quite good value. Chefs at the hotel have been somewhat amazed at the different types of food they've been asked to prepare. Over to the Glen Eagles kitchen.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Callahan.
Oh, is breakfast ready yet? I've got 26 starving prime ministers in the dining room. I've left strict instructions with the waiters to be sure to serve each prime minister with the correct food according to his custom and religion. Didn't you see my list?
Aye, but I thought it was your bad-looking jacket, eh?
Idiot, where's that woman with my instructions?
Ah, you mean Mrs. Macduff? She hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, never mind. I'll have to remember the menu myself. Now, let's see. The Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea? Oh, yes, I remember what he wants, because when he told me, I bent double.
Why, was it funny?
No, I was being sick. He wants half a pint of curdled ram's milk mixed with pomegranate juice and sour yak's yogurt.
Oh, he's not going to drink that, is he?
Oh, no. He wants it in a sandwich.
Oh, Mrs. McDuff, you're here.
Oh, good morning, everybody.
Did you remember to get the your poison for Mr. Manley of Jamaica?
What's your poison?
That's very kind of you, sir. I'll have a large whiskey.
Now, Mrs. McDuff, about my list.
I know. Perhaps if you wore braces.
Will you cut the joke? I don't know. I lean over forwards to make this weekend a success, and I'm met with incompetent fools. Now, I'll go and keep the delegates happy. You get the list out and start serving. And no mistake.
Right, Mrs. McDuff, we'll start with the easy ones. Now, what's the first?
Now, here we are. The Prime Minister of India just wants a glass of hot water.
Ah, that's something to get his teeth in, too. Here's the water, now rush it into the dining room.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Rio.
Muldoon of New Zealand, ma'am, and I do apologize. I should have not. Now, look, I want 3 eggs, a 6 slice of gammon, and a pile of mushrooms. I'm so hungry I could eat a dog's dinner.
Well, make your mind up. I want to know which tin to open here.
How's it going, Chef? Any problems?
Yes, Mr. Callahan, it's these yams for Mr. Lee Kuan Yew of Singapore.
What about him?
Does he want strawberry yams or blackcurrant? Quiet in the kitchen! Quiet! The waiters are revolting, Mr. Callahan, but then they always were. There you are now.
Oh, hello, it's the Prime Minister of Tonga. Well, got any problems?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid my mangoes are cold.
Oh, dear. You must have been sitting in a draught. Look. Find another seat. I'll get the waitress to warm them up for you.
Oh, goody.
Yes, the Prime Minister of Pakistan has a complaint.
What is it? Not enough curry in his porridge?
No. Nothing like that. There's been a mix-up with the places. And he's trying to eat it with chopsticks. Oh. It's going all down his pajamas.
Pajamas? That's his best suit.
Right, Mrs. McDuff, last tray, and that's a lot, thank goodness.
Oh, good. I'll take these, and then we can have ours.
Oh, what are you having?
Oh, thanks. I'll have a pint and a pint of half.
Chef?
Hey, what is it now?
It's this yar adua you've made up for Mr. Selma Dundee.
Well, what's wrong with it?
It should have been Selma Gundy made up for Mr. Yar Adua.
I've had enough. I'm up to here with Selma Gundy, cold mangoes and yak's milk, all this horrible furnuck. I'm not doing anything else until me and Mrs. McDuff have had a good plain breakfast.
Oh, I understand, Chef. Look, you have your break, and I'll take this last one in myself. Go! Oh, dear. Whoa! It looks like a load of offal and intestines and animals inside. Oh, bless me. What? Who's this for? The hotel cat?
That's a haggis for my breakfast.
Oh.
You remember Bob Matthews? He's the policeman who's just retired after 16 years standing outside number 10 Downing Street. Well, the news this week is that he's been invited
in to start. What they call in the force, an inside job. For the union of the Downing Street staff say that if he goes in, they go out. So he may be taking on more than he's bargained for. Beating it off. They call me the singing policeman. I've ended my days as a cop. I turned in my whistle and my dungeon in exchange for a bucket and mop. I clean all the rooms from the biggest to the smallest room under the stairs, which the ministers like to see sparkling, as their best work is sometimes done there. You can get some lovely chords on these if you know where to put your fingers, is mine. God bless you, Mother. I knew you were in. I didn't know where you were sitting. You know. Now the beggars have taken advantage, and from morning till night, life is hell. Because the government's gone on vacation, and I'm doing all their jobs as well. So I've taken my chance to get even, and now they'll be counting the cards. Today I declared war on China. That'll serve them all right, because we lost. There he is. Well, so much for jazz. Now, as you may have read this week, there are moves afoot to get rid of Jim Callaghan as leader of the Labour Party.
What?
And it's not all good news. The left wing want to change the election rules, which could mean their beloved Tony Benn coming to power. It all goes to show just what can happen when you start worshipping false gods. Present our Hudline's biblical film epic, The Ben Commandments. And lo, there appeared among the tormented children of Great Britain a wondrous hero whose name was Moses Callaghan. By lore, Moses Callaghan should have been executed when he was born. But as it was the executioner's day off yesterday, he lived on and prospered. And yea, verily, his people treated him like a king. They kept burying him underneath Westminster Abbey. Like England's soccer team, Moses Callaghan had but one goal. To lead his people through the wilderness to the promised land. And already he was halfway there. He'd certainly got them into the wilderness.
Whoa there, everybody! Whoa! Whoa!
Moses, are you sure you're the right man to lead these people?
Of course I am. Look at the way I parted those awful great waves.
Well, with respect, dear, combing Margaret Thatcher's hair doesn't prove anything. I thought you were supposed to perform wondrous miracles with a crooked staff.
I'm not interfering with the board of British Leyland again, Audrey. Now, you struck me. When I've finished with the children of Great Britain, they shall want no more.
I think they've had quite enough as it is, dear. Oh, no, look out. Here comes that liberal partner of yours, Aaron Steele.
Oh, Moses, I don't think I can go much further. I think I'm ready to meet my maker.
Really? I didn't know the chairman of Dinky Toys was there. Oh, I'm too good for this place. You said your liberals will be with me all the way, so just keep your hair on, Aaron. You see? It is written by the prophets that I shall obtain a new pay code for my people. Now, while I ascend this mountain for divine inspiration, I want you to keep order down below.
Very good, Moses.
Are you sure you know how to climb a mountain, dear?
Oh, of course I know how to climb a mountain, woman. Now, if you'll just shut up and hold the ladder still, I can get on with it.
And so Moses Callahan ascended the mountain to seek advice on the Peco commandment. And as he threw himself down on his knees in reverence, a mighty voice boomed out to him.
Oh, Mary, come and have a look at this. Oh, dear. It's old Moses Callahan come for help again. Oh, dear. I tell thee what, loyal disciple of mine. Why not try the old social contract dodge again? That usually keeps them quiet for a year or two. I'll give you some tablets bearing the Stage 3 guidelines. But what about workers with eroded differential? Just tell them to keep taking the tablets.
But meanwhile, at the foot of the mountain, the people of the Labour Party were even at that moment indulging in pleasures of the flesh. All had cast off their clothing, and there was a very noticeable swing to the left. Right, there we are, brothers. Look what we've got. A wizened old idol composed of nothing but bone.
Aye, but Barbara Castle's never looked better, has she?
But what we really worship is that up there. The Golden Bend.
The Golden Bend?
Aye, a great inanimate object with no proper mind or brain. A Golden Bend will become our next leader.
Our next leader? But what about Moses Callahan?
No. His days are numbered, lass. As soon as we've changed the election procedure, all that's going to change, like this audience are, so don't book their ideas up a bit. We'll let all the people vote on it this time, lass, and then we'll lynch Moses Callahan on that wall over there.
Oh, look out! He's back. Moses is back from the mountaintop.
All right, all of you, all right. You won't get away with this. You'll never lynch me on a wall. The Labour Party will support me. What? Members, are you with me?
No! We're with the wall, Lynch!
That was the news headline starring Roy Hudd with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Lowley Quartet. The script was written by David Rainwick and Peter Spence with Andy Hamilton and Laurie Rowley. Additional material by John Heath, Charles Bieber, Keith Rawnsley, Peter Long, and Philip Hayen.
All of whom have been reduced to half price this week by our producer,
John Knight.
Oh,